a radio show about the European Digital Art and Science Network.
The basis of the European Digital Art and Science Network is a big manifold network consisting of scientific mentoring institutions representing European's peak in scientific research, the Ars Electronica Future Lab, providing state-of-the-art technical production possibilities in a transdisciplinary discourse, and 7 European cultural partners representing strong, various artistic positions. Ars Electronica created the international initiative to enable artists to participate in residency at research institutes to connect science with digital art approaches. In today's radio show, we are in conversation with 2 scientific partners of the Ars Electronica, ESA, the European Space Agency, and Fraunhofer MEVIS. On the microphone, Romina Achatz. Yen-Tsu Chan is the recipient of the Artist in Residency hosted by Fraunhofer MEVIS and Ars Electronica in the framework of European Digital Art and Science Network. Today we will talk about STEAM Imaging, the pilot residency program of Fraunhofer MEVIS in collaboration with Ars Electronica. Within the STEAM Imaging Artist Residency Program, the Taiwanese media artist Yen-Tsu Chan and Fraunhofer MEVIS scientist Sabrina Haase and Bianca Hoffmann from Germany designed a creative workshop for pupils in the field of computer assisted medicine and sound art. This program took place at the Fraunhofer MEVIS Institute, at the Technology Park in Bremen, as well as at the Ars Electronica Festival in Linz. In the following interview, I'm in conversation with Sabrina Haase, Bianca Hoffmann, and Yen-Tsu Chan.
May you introduce yourself?
I'm Yen-Tsu Chan. I'm currently based in Linz. I'm a media artist who also working on the sound installation.
My name is Sabrina Haase. I'm a researcher and project manager of industry project at Fraunhofer MEVIS, which is Institute for Medical Image Computing based in Bremen.
My name is Bianca Hoffmann. I realize projects in science communication. I work also at Fraunhofer MEVIS as head of corporate communication.
Can you introduce Fraunhofer MEVIS?
So at the Fraunhofer Institute for Medical Image Computing, MEVIS, we develop real-world software solution for computer-aided medicine, bridging between medical imaging, image-guided therapies, and healthcare informatics. The goals of our work are to detect diseases earlier and more reliable, customize treatments to each patient, and make therapeutic success measurable.
How did the collaboration between Ars Electronica and Fraunhofer MEVIS arose?
In 2013, we were invited to exhibit an interactive installation named Poking Florian at the festival. Since then, we have several cooperations with the Ars Electronica Science Center, such as 3D movies in the deep space. As we decided to go on in our science communication in more dialogue-oriented formats and to integrating an artist, the Ars Electronica seems to be a great partner for us.
Can you tell us about the new artist in residency project, STEAM Imaging?
So it came, we designed a dialogue-oriented SciComm project, which involves an artist, scientist, pupils, connecting computer-assisted medicine with STEM education, sound art, and also ethical topics. With our STEM workshops, we usually wanted to raise awareness of how computerization supports and influences healthcare and the role of STEM in life sciences. With the STEAM Imaging project, we now want to stimulate critical dialogue about new technology in society.
Sabrina and Yen, in the end of March, as well as in June, you two designed a creative workshop for pupils. The workshop was also part of the Artist in Residency program STEAM Imaging. How did the initial idea for this workshop arose?
Yeah, so we already had STEM workshops at Fraunhofer MEVIS, so with a very much of experience. And yeah, then we tried to integrate the arts. So we used our, let's say, programs we had and thought of parts where we could try to use it for an artistic outcome.
For my part, I've just tried to get to understand what's the original program from the workshop in Fraunhofer Mimis, and then find my position to bring my own practice into this workshop. For example, we do the plaster model to put into MRI machine to scan, and also the sound art workshop, we do the sound concert combined with medical imaging.
What was the context of the workshop and how did you realize it?
Yeah, we started with the pupils to learn about medical imaging and to learn the fundamentals in sound art. And in the medical imaging area, they were asked to record videos of medical imaging data, of real data, like data from a head or from abdomen. And they were asked to color it so that it is art, or a piece of an artwork. Yeah, and then we aimed to enhance this by sound art.
And the medical image, it become audio visual, material in the audio visual concert. And in the end of workshop, we bring the concert because it's a destination and the platform for the people to present themselves. And during this process, they learn how to use the sound and how to arrange all the process of the performance. So during this part, I also really learn a lot from them because everything have a different idea of what they want to do in the performance. One thing is super relaxed, much more improvising. The other one is they want to arrange everything so precisely. That's what I find out in the workshop.
How was the reaction generally from the pupils?
Yeah, in my view, the pupils really liked that combination. So in the beginning, they were kind of, oh, how could this two STEM and arts work together? But I think at the end, so they were somehow closer to the idea we had and understood what we mean from STEM to STEAM, I think. This is what they learned. And also they learned a lot about the methodology in medical imaging, so in computer science, but also in arts, in sound art, especially in this case.
Art and science, how does this pair flow together in your workshop or generally in your opinion?
Well, my is that I study about media art and my background is always surround it. So I'm highly interested about the new technology or new knowledge. Maybe it will be part of my artwork. And I just bring this experience to the people that, hey, art and science can really combine together.
Okay. For me, it was a little bit different since I was not involved in any art before. So for me, it was really an experience, an experiment to work with STEM and arts. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it, working with Jan, working with the pupils. So it was much fun.
Why does the software-oriented research institution decide to create a workshop like that?
So we want to support scientists to contextualize their expertise in a broader sense and become inspired to relate facts, empirical data, and science to humanities, social realities, and values. And the art was some kind of a catalyst to do so.
Back to you two, how did you both experience the workshop and your collaboration personally?
About the pupils, it's really a very strong feeling for me to bring this workshop because before I'm just like learning from the Google, learning from the teacher, and always be like a taker. But when I need to be a giver, I need to digest knowledge and then make it understandable. Understandable knowledge and maybe easy for the people to understand and so on. And then I changed my position, but actually I'm also a taker in the workshop because they are super creative and bring out so many new ideas. And we are kind of exchange knowledge actually in the workshop. And about the Sabina part, it's really She's so smart that in the workshop, if something I don't know how to bring out an experience, she helped me a lot to do it because she has so many experience in the workshop. And we will have very good time to bring the science and art together.
Great. And I think I have nothing to add.
Have there been any obstacles during your artist in residency program, Yen?
I'm doing the residency in the two sites. One is from Fraunhofer Mises. The other one is in Astra Electronica Future Lab. And in the Fraunhofer Mises, I'm pretty busy because I really want to do a lot of things and meet so many people. But it's pretty full that have this time to develop and think. But I'm pretty happy to meet a lot of people in the end because I'm only stay there for 2 weeks and everything is organized. And then in the future lab part, it's a bit too free. I wish it could be set up some mission and timing for meeting and have some introduction. Yeah, this part is a little bit pretty. There's not much meeting and understanding how future lab working their project development. But this is my interesting part, but it didn't work out in the end. So in the future lab part, I'm taking care more about my project. So this is good.
Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you. Thank you.
following interview, I'm in conversation with the European Space Agency, RIOP's Gateway to Space, in conversation with Claudia Mignone and Karen O'Flaherty.
May you both introduce yourself.
I'm Claudia Mignone. I'm an astrophysicist and work as a science writer for the European Space Agency.
Yeah, and I'm Karen O'Flaherty, and I'm also an astrophysicist and a science communicator working at the European Space Agency.
Who is the European Space Agency and what is its mission?
Well, the European Space Agency is Europe's gateway to space. And what that means is that there are more than 20 countries which pool their resources together to explore the universe, to send satellites into space, to observe our planet. We have initiatives in telecommunications and satellite navigation. We foster excellence in technology. And perhaps more relevant for the interview is that we have a well-established long program in space science and also in exploration.
Can you tell us about the collaboration between the Ars Electronica and ESA? When and how did it arise?
So the collaboration, the current collaboration started early 2016, I believe. And we were invited by Ars Electronica to join the European Digital Art and Science Network as a partner. And we had heard a lot of great things about their residencies with CERN and the ESO. So we were really honored and thrilled to join. We had already some experience with individual activities of artists that had contacted us on projects that they had independently pursued, inspired by our missions. And we thought that there is way more to investigate and pursue when ESA, if ESA can open its door to artists, especially in such a formal program with a partner like Ars Electronica that has great experience with this type of interactions. That's how it started. It was a collaboration with our group. We work in the communication of the space science program of ESA. So we worked together with Ars Electronica to have an open call. That was about mid-2016. And then the jury meeting was in July. The selection was announced in August last year. And like, technically, the residency started at the Ars Electronica Festival 2016 and unfolded throughout the entire year. And now we are seeing the result.
Eva von Lindenthal was the first recipient of the Ars Electronica Art and Science Residency Program in collaboration with FutureLab and the European Digital Art and Science Network. Can you tell us about the results of this project, Starstorm?
Yes, so Eva proposed her project that she proposed for the open call was spectacular performance with explosions, inspired by the explosions that happen in the cosmos. So within the life of stars, the explosions that happen at the end of a star's life, and all sort of other processes that lead to the birth and death of stars and galaxies across the universe. She had a rough idea, but then when she visited, she spent two long periods of 3 weeks each in our center, ESTEC, which is the European Science and Technology Research Center of ESA. It's based in the Netherlands. It's a very large center with over 2,500 people working there. She was embedded in the science group, so she spent a lot of time with space scientists talking about stellar physics, solar physics, plasma physics, all the processes in the universe that might be related to the subject that she was planning to explore with this performance. She first came, interviewed a lot of people, absorbed a lot of information, went back to her studio for a couple of months, created a whole script, a dramaturgy for the performance, and then she came back with a number of ideas for different scenes, and she discussed them with the scientists, which is also something interesting because she never does that before a performance. She never opens up her process before showing it. So she came there because she did that. She did this change because she wanted to really get the input on the science, right? But also the emotional reaction that the scientists would have seeing these pieces. And then I was present there during some of these brainstormings that she had. So I had some rough ideas. She drew some sketches of how the performances were, how the various acts of the performance were going to be. And then last night we finally got to see the actual performance, and it was breathtaking. Almost all of the ideas that were discussed were implemented in a very grandiose, beautiful way. And I think there was a lot of development with respect to the first generic plan that she had of a explosive performance that was based on The Life of Stars, because there were a lot of specific situations that really were proposed by talking to specific people who work on a number of different research subjects at ESA. And yeah, it was really fantastic. There were four main
movements.
Although yeah, the last one was in the same space of the first one. And that would take you through a journey through different processes that happen in the universe, from the Big Bang to the formation of the first stars that live for a different period of time, depending on if they're more bright, more massive, or smaller ones live longer, and then explosions that become creative in sense of producing new elements, or the explosions that happen at the end of a star, especially if there are two stars and they're orbiting together. There was this beautiful installation in which we were all at the center in a grass field, and the explosions were taking place around us. So that was very intense. And also we had to wait a lot for certain things to happen during the performance. And I think that was a very good reflection, on one hand, of the long times that take in the universe for processes to happen, because the universe is almost 14 billion years old. So in a 1 hour performance, it's difficult to give a sense of that. But I think that was very well portrayed. And also the unexpected nature, which reflects very much, so not only the processes that happen, but also us as human scientists, observers, that look at the universe and have to wait a lot, because in some cases, for some processes, unless something happens, you cannot see that thing. For example, a black hole, you cannot see it because it doesn't emit light. So you have to wait for something around it to happen. And then you have to be lucky to be looking in the right direction at the right time. And I think that was also very present in the piece, because at various points, there were explosions, little perhaps, that were taking place completely unexpected. And because we were a small crowd in large spaces, one could be at the wrong time. Well, not wrong time, but just you hear the sound. By the time you turn around, the light, the exploding, the firework has finished. So that reflects very well also how our satellites are working in responding to certain events. You have to be really fast and repoint. So, and sometimes you just can't. And that's the condition of the scientist. You always have to be it's not awake.
Alert.
Alert. Yes, exactly. And put all the clues together. And I think we will spend some time putting all the clues together from the performance to build up a picture.
Sarah Pettus was invited for a short residency with her project The Wandering Artist. As far as I understood from her, you will make it possible that her robot with artificial intelligence will explore another planet in the solar system. Is it true, and can you tell us about this project?
Okay, well, yeah, Sarah's little robot is called Noodle Feet, or Noodle. It's 60 centimeters tall, and it's got four legs, and is very cute. But the purpose of the robot is twofold. One is to investigate how you could create a robot that has creative and artistic aspects to it. So she's doing that by developing feet modules that have senses that mimic human senses. So, for example, the taste or touch, you know, this kind of senses. But the other aspect of the project is to investigate what would happen if you sent a robot to a planet that had artistic and creative tendencies, or that responded to the environment from that perspective rather than just a scientific perspective. And so this is, you know, the twofold aspect of her project. The intention is not to put Noodle on top of a rocket and launch him off to Mars, but it's more to explore the questions that arise when you think about, you know, what if this was to be the case? What if, you know, in the future the robots have different priorities, or, you know, are more reflective, responsive to what they find there? And so, yeah, Sarah came to ESTEC as well. For us, it was more of a challenge because we work directly in space science. And of course, like big organizations, there are many departments, and robotics is a different department. But we were very lucky because they were very responsive. They've had some inquiries before, and they've always seen this as a useful exchange, and they were intrigued as well. And what was lovely to see was that Sarah would go over to speak to roboticists who thought that she was there to ask them for technical details. And the conversations would start in that way. You know, she would talk to them about what she'd been doing and why she had developed particular mechanisms. And they would start to respond to that. But the conversations would then develop and become broader and, you know, discuss things about, well, why are we going to Mars? Or, you know, if we wanted to go somewhere else, what would we need? And what are the challenges? And, you know, why are certain appendages for robots built in particular ways? How do we make robots more human-like, but in the sense of being able to manipulate things? So looking then also at the human-robot interface. And what was lovely to see with the conversations is that they would start off a little bit wary, and then there'd be a moment when there's just like a spark. And then, you know, everybody starts getting involved. And there are some pictures where, you know, there's five or six people, and two may be talking, and two are poking at the robot, and somebody else, you know, is pointing at, you know, a drawing they have. It was very interactive. And certainly the experience that they had and the feedback that we had was that they'd like to do more of this because it made them reflect also on what they're doing. What we also did then, because we wanted to kind of make the most of the short period of time that she was with us, it was only 3 weeks, and in the robotics department many people were also busy and off at conferences, so we visited the Technical University in Delft, where we met students and staff who are working on swarm robots, which was also an eye-opener. But again, very interesting, a fantastic exchange of ideas. You know, it's a different type of interaction. And I think all around, certainly, it was very beneficial.
What are your insights from this experience of the Artist in Residency program?
It was very exciting, of course, for us as facilitators, but especially for the artists on one hand, which managed to get all their information, grow in the process, grow closer to scientists, but also for the scientists on the other side.
Yeah, what I'd also like to say is that it was very beneficial doing this in a partnership with Ars Electronica and with the European Digital Art and Science Network, because they brought an experience from having run many residencies before, and they were able to, you know, help us choose the right people. I mean, we see now that they were definitely, you know, the right people for us. And, you know, we see that in the feedback that we got, and in the experience that we had, and in the experience that they had. So I think the partnership was a very important factor in this.
And we would be very happy to continue this program in the future.
Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show about the scientific partners of Ars Electronica, Fraunhofer MEVIS and ESA, European Space Agency.